For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hey guys, welcome to the Tokyo Auto Salon. It's kind of like SEMA here in Tokyo. And in this video and podcast, Tommy, who's behind the camera, and myself
are going to take you through all the cool cars and products you need to know about.
Yeah, we're going to show you some of the craziest, most insane builds that I have seen. And this is just kind of a bird's eye view of all of the people. It is very much like SEMA, Tommy.
Very cool. So let's dive right in. We're going to talk about what the major OEMs are up to, what the aftermarket parts are up to, and some of the coolest bits builds here.
Right now, we're in the Mitsubishi booth looking at the DJ Triton, which is a pickup that we don't get. Let's think about it as forbidden fruit for us Americans.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. So this is mostly an aftermarket supplier company, but OEMs like Mitsubishi and Nissan and Toyota do come out and display some aftermarket potential as to what you can do with their vehicles. Now, this is a midsize truck that competes with the Nissan Frontier. I actually think it's based on the Nissan Frontier, if I remember correctly. And this one's been done up with some aftermarket accessories. So we've got some suspension work, we've got a front end work, we've got some fender flares. Now, Japan's really strict about road safety in a lot of areas. So you'll notice like the fender flares perfectly cover the edge of the tire. And then out back here, check this out, it also has some camping capability too with this in-bed rooftop tent slash shell, which is very common in the US, and of course we're seeing it a lot more in Japan.
You know what else you notice here? When you do have these kind of push bars, they're never covering up the front. That may be a pedestrian safety thing. They're always kind of like these underbites underneath the car.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a really kind of interesting observation. This is really common to see these like bash guards that cover the radiator. Now, Mitsubishi has a couple other things they are showing off here at the Tokyo Auto Salon, including this Outlander, which is done up in a little bit of an apocalyptic way, obviously going for a future end of the world looking overland theme. So it has a grill guard that's like a clear Lexan with recovery points at the bottom. Now, the Outlander in the US is just a fairly typical smallish crossover to bring kids to school, but they've done some pretty wild, they call it fender protection along the side.
Well, and this, hey, what does this remind you of? This looks like something, come on, what does that remind you of?
Yeah, it looks like a fender flare from a Mini Cooper GP.
Exactly. This is the Night Seeker concept, Tommy. It's based, of course, on the plug-in hybrid Outlander, and what they've done is made it, like you said, look like it's the end of the world.
Little Mad Maxi, a little off-roady. We see this a lot, I'm noticing, in Japan, which are these slightly lifted, chunky, tired crossovers and small vans. It seems to be a really popular thing in Japan, and it's gaining popularity in the US as well. And then, of course, everything's got to have a rooftop tent. And this is something really special. So this is a off-road minivan.
This is the Active Seeker, Tommy.
I think this is based on the Delica.
Yeah.
Delica D5. This is an interesting mix of off-road capability with the open country tires, and then it has like a pleated leather interior.
Yeah, what I like about it is that it's an off-road van. Now, when I was at SEMA, actually Hyundai was the first to kind of come out with a really unique van concept called the Weekender, spelled in a really weird way. But here we have, especially in Japan, we have a lot of off-road vans. And outside of like sprinters in America, vans really, especially vans this size, aren't a thing, but it's great to see them done up in this very off-roady way. Let's face it, Tommy, Mitsubishi is pretty much a truck company at this point.
Yeah, for sure. And over here, we have another interpretation of a Triton. This is kind of a cool look. I see this a lot. This is a slammed, lowered suspension, big wheeled kind of street version that still has like some off-road flair, like with the bed rack and some of the roof treatment. Kind of an interesting design, but I see this a lot here.
I like the carpet on the dashboard.
Yeah, that's pretty funny, huh? Japan and Mitsubishi here going heavy into the topper space, right? We see that a lot.
Yeah, let's go check it out. Let's go look inside. I'm curious to see what it looks like inside. It's very busy here, by the way.
It is packed.
The Tokyo Auto Salon and SEMA have that certainly in common. Look at this. It's a little rooftop pop-up tent. This is kind of like a four-wheel camper here in Japan.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah. Very similar. Let's see what the side of it looks like. Yeah, exactly like a four-wheel camper, right? The top pops open. It's a pretty interesting look. They also chopped the actual bed off and then color matched. This is a FT Porter is a manufacturer.
And you know it's an off-roader because you have your ubiquitous MaxTrak knockoffs.
That's a great point.
And we've got more Delicas off-road right there.
Yeah, look at that. Pretty cool. So they've got two here. They've got the full-size Delica, and then they've got the little tiny Delica Mini.
Yeah, let's show them that because that's my favorite car here.
Now, the Delica Mini, I believe, is a K car, which is a classification of vehicles sold here in Japan, which is about 660 cc's. They're meant to fit in really small spaces. And this one, they put little off-road lights up on the roof. It's got little red mud flaps. That's a cool-looking little guy.
Dude, as a K car, how do you live in this thing? I mean, I can see sitting in it. I can't see sleeping in it.
No, but it is pretty useful. And are typically under $20,000.
Look at these little tiny off-road all-terrain tires. So cute!
It's pretty wild. And a lot of these are all-wheel drive as well. Yeah. Turbocharged, pretty common. Yeah, it says Mitsubishi turbocharger on the side. That'd be a good hint.
I like these WRC mud flaps.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That's a pretty cool touch. You can't really tow with it.
No, but I mean, it's not really an off-roader, but it's kind of an interesting flair on a little city car. I like that a lot.
Yeah, this feels very very off-roady here.
All right, so Mitsubishi leaning pretty heavy into the four-wheel drive thing because that's what they offer in Japan. But let's see what else we got going on at the show. All right, so we're here at the Nissan booth checking out some of the interesting concepts that they have brought here, starting with this is the Nissan X-Trail Unwind concept. Now in the U.S., this is the Nissan Rogue. This one's been off-roaded a little bit. It's got a cool matte paint on it and along the side.
You know what? I'm seeing a lot of matte, Tommy. It seems to be a thing here. Because if you look over there, you've got another matte car, also an X-Trail.
Yeah.
And the matte colors are now not just black or grays, but they're these kind of interesting, this is almost a brown matte.
So you can see they kind of did the off-roady treatment, also some rhino lining like on the fender flares and on the running boards.
You think that's a wrap or do you think that's paint?
I don't know.
Hard to tell, isn't it? The wraps have become so good, it's really hard to tell.
And then here's another Rogue. For some reason, they brought along an old Rogue as well, also called the X-Trail here. And then behind me, this is the disaster support spec of the Nissan van. And it's got like a deployable drone out the side. It's got solar panels on the top. It's got a Starlink panel up there. Do you see that?
Yeah, you know, that's a drone from like 8 years ago.
Yeah, they really have an old DJI up there.
I think this may have been rolled out of their warehouse from a few years ago. At least the drone was. I don't know about the car.
Now, these are a couple of the Nissan EVs that they have on the market. This is the Autech E-Power, which is, I think, if I remember correctly, a fully electric van.
You know what?
Pretty cool.
We haven't seen a lot of EVs at the show whatsoever. I mean, I would say out of all the shows we've done over the years, this is the least amount of electric vehicles. It seems like Japan has gone hybrid or plug-in hybrid, but certainly not full electric. And speaking of full electric, we're coming up to a car that is one of the most controversial cars here, and we'll show you that in a second.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to get in there, though, Dad. So here we've got a Z race car, which is absolutely gorgeous.
And you can tell it's controversial because you can't get near it. I mean, look at all the people.
Look at all the people here trying to...
Yeah, oh my God.
Look at this guy's stick. It's huge.
You need a stick.
All right, good thing I got a stick. I'm going to go up.
All right, you go.
Are you ready? There you go. Look, you can see it. There it is. Now, the reason this is controversial, so that is a Skyline GTR, better known as the R32.
Yeah, let's go around the back of it.
Let's see if we can get around the back. This is crazy. Oh. Ben, what if we go?
We gotta go. Oh my gosh.
Oh man.
This is crazy.
Can't get around the back at all here.
No,
excuse me.
No. But we were saying the reason it's controversial is because it's completely electrified.
Yeah. So this has been kind of a hot button topic, right? Taking the legendary R32 and then making it electric. Let's see if we can get back here.
Ah, there we go.
Show you the rear.
We can show you the. Oh, thank you. I thought they were keeping us from going to it. But they're not.
There it is. So you can see R32 EV next to the little level 2 charging station. And another thing I noticed is it had someone in there revving it, and it does like the
room, room.
Yeah, the faux. And funny, they didn't actually get rid of the cutout in the rear valence for the exhaust. But this is kind of, I think a lot of people think this is kind of blasphemous because you got the, you know, the legendary twin turbo has been replaced with the EV power system. And you know, we see this a lot now in the U.S., but apparently not much of a thing in Japan.
Yeah, I mean, people have been electrifying old Porsches in America, old Volkswagen Beetles, old Italian cars. This is like a thing. But yet here in Japan, this has created quite the stir, as you can tell by the amount of people.
And I think part of it is because it's done by a legendary automaker, you know, with a legendary nameplate, and it's done from a factory standpoint. So I think that's a big deal. But pretty interesting to see the response.
Well, let's keep going. We can get out of this.
Oh, look at the fray. Oh, this is another car. This is the public debut, I should say.
Yeah.
And notice everybody's surrounding the Skyline. No, very few people talking about the Aria Nismo. So this is the new high-performance Aria. We are getting this in the U.S. They've put the Nismo treatment to the Aria. I think it has like, oof, really pushing my stats here. I think it's like 420 horsepower in the Aria Nismo.
Which is not that much for an electric car, Tommy.
Not really.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's a lot, but for an electric car.
It's not that crazy. It's got a good look, though. It's pretty cool looking. It's got kind of like a little hood ball. It's got that red lower front treatment. It's definitely a unique look.
So I'm going to give the Nissan Aria the name most likely to be mispronounced.
Yeah, maybe you're right there.
I've heard Aria, I've heard Araya, and yet it's none of those, Tommy.
But it's interesting that this is the first public debut of a really relatively important new car, and there's not many people here. And then surrounding that old Skyline.
I'm looking at the numbers
look at
here.
All the folks.
It's 9,441 yen, which is probably around $45,000. I'm guessing at that, but I don't think I'm too far off. It's got a 91 kilowatt hour battery. I can make that out. And it produces 435 horsepower at 600 newton meters. So I can't translate newton meters into, you know, pound feet of torque. But what do you think of it?
That's fine.
Yeah? Doesn't really float your boat?
Nope.
You know which one I think? No, that one I like better.
GTR, the R35?
Yeah.
I was reading that this was, you know, it's been officially discontinued in North America, but they are continuing it for another model year here in Japan.
I think this car has, you know, like a cat, 9 lives. It just keeps going and going. And the reason for that is it's just so ultimately iconic, right? This is a car that was the first one to make an affordable supercar that could go 0-60 in like 3.5 seconds. And you know, this is long before Tesla came around. And yet the styling is something that is just brutal. And the nickname Godzilla is certainly fitting. And you know, the last Nismo versions of these things in the US are selling, or were selling, for like 170,000, 180,000.
More than that, they were like 220.
Yeah, and if it were me, if you guys are looking for something that's going to become collectible, forget about the cheap ones that are going for, you know, $50,000-$60,000, the 10-year-old ones with the transmission issues. Get the last ones because the collectors are always going to want the ones that, you know, came last because they're going to be the least produced. There you go. Tommy, this looks like a Ferrari Parasegue.
It does look like that, but this is actually a Toyota. This is a new product they sell here in Japan called the Toyota Crown Sport. And this company here has done something pretty clever, although I don't think Ferrari would agree, they've created Ferrari-like badges, painted the calipers yellow, and then parked it next to the actual Ferrari, and that is just the funniest dynamic.
I mean, look, you've got yellow badging, right? You've got yellow brake calipers on the Ferrari. You've got Ferrari-like brake calipers on the Toyota. This is just absolutely crazy.
Now, obviously, this company is paying homage to this trend in Japan of folks thinking they look the same, but really they do. If you've seen a stock Crown Sport and seen it next to an actual pair of Sangue, they look very, very similar.
Now, there's an even more interesting car next to it, and this is a Jimny, but it's not.
I love this. This is brilliant. So the Suzuki Jimny is a $20,000 four-cylinder off-roader here in Japan, and this company does a body kit that makes it look like the real thing.
I mean, look at that. This looks just like a G-Wagon, even the headlights. The only thing that's different is, of course, the G-Wagon has these iconic turn signals on top of the hood. This doesn't have it, but look, it even has side pipes, Tommy.
That's awesome. That's so funny. Just a little tiny four-cylinder engine. They gave it side pipes. They gave it the hood bulge, and then out back, check this out. It has the taillights, just like a G-Wagon, and it has the spare tire carrier, which also looks like a G.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, and then it says G625, G62S, but why is that a G62L?
Because this is a two-door.
Oh!
It's a four-door. This one's longer. How
okay.
Brilliant is that?
So, wait, so somebody, even the roofline, I mean, look at that. It's so iconic. G. So somebody at the company said, Mercedes builds the 63, so we're going to go one number less. Is that where they got that?
I think you're right. I think that's hilarious.
Hey, let me show you one more thing, right? What SEMA-like show would be complete without a Wrangler?
Oh, yeah.
We have a Wrangler. I was wondering how long it would take before we ran into a Wrangler.
Pretty unusual. I think this is a JL Wrangler on like 4Ds or 44s maybe. Oh, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, let's look at the front of this. I mean, this can't be legal here, right? I mean, I think in Japan they're very careful about how far
this would probably not be road legal.
Yeah, this looks like it came straight out of America.
It very likely did, actually.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Try to get the shot of the front. But yeah, look at that. JL Wrangler here in Japan. That's pretty funny.
And check this out. Look at this little guy. Look at this little guy. This is very Japanese, right? On the back of this Porsche.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
997. Oh, 190E.
Oh, we found Tommy's kryptonite, a Mercedes.
Kind of cool about the show is no car is sacred. They do whatever they want, whatever car they want. And I think that's pretty cool because so many folks in the U.S. would be like, how could you desecrate a 190E?
It's an AME. Maybe it's electric.
Oh, I bet you're right. That's a keen observation.
I bet you that's...
And look, there's a good shot it didn't start out originally as a Cosworth and someone has, you know, put the body treatment on a standard like 190, but it's pretty cool to see that.
Keep going. Let's go over here. Let me show you this. I love the fact that, like, the stance community came from here in Tokyo, right? Here's a very much stance Z. And then, just in case you guys are not familiar with the G-Wagon, there is an actual G63, and we could show you the contrast between the Suzuki version and the real thing.
Yeah, this one is, of course, the real G63, like you said, in the same color, which is pretty funny. But, yeah, that's the full-size G-Wagon,
if you will. I think those guys did a great job. And I want one, Tommy. I want one of these.
How is Mercedes not suing them, though?
I mean, they sell G-Wagons here. I saw a couple on the streets. Maybe they find it as an homage?
No.
You don't think
I don't see Mercedes seeing, a good homage there.
Come check out the Stance BMW. That's pretty badass, too.
Yeah, I think this is a car we didn't get in the States. I think it's an M3 wagon. It is an M3 wagon.
A Stance M3 Touring, Tommy.
Yeah, look at that. That is so cool.
And that, you're exactly right. I mean, you said that nothing is sacred here, right? I don't think I've ever seen a Stance 911 in America, and yet, there it is.
Yeah, very common, of course, to see this style build. I do like the oversized Fuchs. It's a pretty cool thing, and it's probably a good shot of the bagged on air suspension, but that's a beautiful car.
I wonder what it rides like. Tommy, where else in the world are you going to see a Hellcat next to a Prius? I mean, look at that. How crazy is that, huh?
Now, this has got some truly amazing paint. It's a paint, sorry. It's a company called Rohan Izawa Art Design that has put this booth together. And it really is this incredible, almost sunken down pinstriping next to what is indeed a Toyota Prius.
Yeah, it's a mad Prius.
Wow.
Look at that.
Pretty crazy, yeah. Well, you're really right about the matte being popular here. Stance Prius, and that, I think...
It's a wide-body Prius, Tommy.
Wide-body Prius.
Yes, indeed.
Now, folks have been saying that these cars are looking cooler than they've ever looked before, and there's probably something to that, because that is one crazy-looking Toyota.
Hey, what the Honda is this?
I have no clue.
I have no clue either. It's certainly one that we don't get.
It's like a little tiny...
It's cute. I like it.
Kind of looks like a HRV. WRV? I think that's what it is.
Let's look. Can we go in the booth? I don't know if I can. Let's see if there's anything in the back here.
I think it's called the WRV. Pretty sure.
Yeah, very good, Tommy. Look at that. You nailed it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And it's got, man, this booth has some really amazing color-changing abilities with their paint. That's gorgeous. And then over here, we got another Challenger.
Yeah. I thought the jailbreak version was out there. This is way beyond that.
Yeah, some seriously custom paint, but it's beautiful. It's really, really well done.
Can I show you two other cars that I really think are cool? Just over here.
Yeah, watch your backpack.
Thank you. As you know, yeah, especially with that paint. Thanks for the heads up on that. You know, Tommy, I love Forbidden Fruit. And one of my favorite vehicles that I would love to actually own one day would be a Jimny. Unfortunately, Suzuki has left the party in America. But here we're looking at a lifted Jimny. How cool is that?
Absolutely awesome, yeah. And the Jimny now comes both in 2 and 4 doors. Now, this vehicle dates back decades and decades and decades, and for a while there in the 80s, we did get a version of the Jimny called the Samurai. But that left our shores after the Sidekick, which was also a Jimny more or less. And, they have continued development and engineering. And these are super cool, really popular in Japan because they're cheap. I think they're like 18,000 US.
Yeah, exactly.
Though. I mean, look at that. They got solid axles front and back. You can lift them. You can put tires on them.
And this, because I was looking at actually buying one, is actually a standard color you can get from the factory.
Yeah, the lime green.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, these are awesome. Manual transmissions, 5 speeds, little 4 cylinders. And they also do a K version, which is 660 cc's, even narrower. But these are really special little cars that we don't get in the States.
Yeah, and then I like how they think about these presentations, right? You got a new Z next to an old Z. How cool is that?
Yeah, lots of 240s here at the Tokyo Auto Salon. That kind of has been the car of the show.
Yeah, and I got to say, this is the Z I'd want, not the new one. Over here, we've got a G-Wagon, and then probably one of the loudest... wrap cars I've seen. I think it's a wrap. I mean, look at that, Tommy. That is pure gold.
Oh, yeah, GR86. So we've got this kind of matte blue G-Wagon, and then we've got a bright gold GR86, which is a pretty cool look. And then I've seen a ton of these. This has been a big hit at the show this year. The 250 series are what we would just call the Land Cruiser in the U.S., but these 250 series Land Cruiser Prados are everywhere.
Yeah, and what's this guy, Tommy? This looks like a little K car race car.
Oh my gosh, what in Porsche 911 is this?
Yeah, it's a Coupe.
The car is a Copen. It's a Daihatsu.
It's a Daihatsu underneath. Look at that.
Wow.
Somebody certainly did a Daihatsu off. One more car over here and then we'll move on to the next hall. What is this?
Oh, look at this little guy.
It's a bug truck, Tommy.
Bug truck.
Bug truck. Whatever that means.
Oh my God, it's got to be the world's smallest little camper.
Surf and snow car factory, Tommy.
That's crazy. Look at that little guy. That's super cool.
Tommy, look, it's got California plates. This is America.
This is a Suzuki J20 that started out life like that and it ended up life like this. That's very...
What's in the back there? Is that an engine? Is it rear engine powered? What is that?
No, it's just those your air compressor tanks. It's got very California vibes, for sure. That's
it's got very California 1972 vibes. Do you see the little scooter on the back?
Let's see.
It comes with a scooter.
Oh, yeah, look at that. That's awesome.
All right, we are here at the, I'm going to say Nissanda booth, Tommy, or soon to be Nissanda.
Ooh, too soon.
Ooh, too soon? We're here at the Honda booth, and let's see what Honda's showing.
So we got a Type R up front here. I had an interesting conversation with some tuning folks earlier, and the Honda tuning community is not as big, apparently, as the Nissan and Toyota tuning community. Because of the front-wheel drive connection, they got a lot more affordable rear-wheel drive cars in the 90s that are tuned today, and there was just no real need to tune the Honda to the same extent that we did in the States.
This dude is not just an R, it's a Mugen. Is it Mugen?
I think so. Yeah, Group B.
Yeah, but how do you pronounce Mugen or Mugen? It's like the highest level of tune.
Yeah, that's
right?
Cool.
I mean, this is as sporty as it gets, so, you know, it's kind of like the AMG... Or if this were Audi, it'd be the RS above the regular S.
Let's see what else we got here.
We got a lot of people, dude.
Oh, another one. This is another a Civic Mugen. RS.
Yeah, we don't get that.
I don't know what that is. That's interesting.
Yeah, so this is the Mugen Civic RS. And, I can't read any of the... I can't read any of the Japanese, Tommy, so that's as much as I know about it.
Oh, look, here's a car that everyone's interested in.
The K car?
Nope.
I love K cars. I'm a sucker for K cars.
It's the
this looks like a race K car.
Yes, they have a racing series for K cars, but this is the car everyone's interested in. It's going to be hard to show you. That's the new Prelude.
Oh, well, let's go see. Come on, we got to get closer.
That's as close as we can get.
Really?
Yeah.
I think they're starting a press conference at 11:40. That's why it's so busy.
But that's the... It's the new Honda Prelude there that we're everyone's excited about. So there's a pretty good shot of it. I actually got it.
Did you? I like it, Tommy.
Now, yeah, it looks really good.
When we were here in Japan for the Tokyo Motor Show, which is different than the Tokyo Auto Salon, right? That's more of a traditional auto show. This is more of a a tuner show. This rolled out in white. Do you remember seeing it?
I do remember seeing it. Yeah.
And it looked a little kind of boring, but now that I'm seeing it. You know, I think production ready. It looks much better.
Well, this has also got a wing on it. I mean, this looks like a pretty sporty one.
Can Honda sell a two-door coupe? That's the question, right? I mean, the world is going to SUVs and crossovers, and here we have a two-door coupe that's going to hit the market.
And but likely a hybrid two-door coupe.
Yeah, a hybrid two-door coupe.
There we have it.
Look, he's spraying off the dust.
Yeah, it got to be perfect.
All right, well, let's keep going. Oh my!
Here, let's go out
this way. Let's go out this way.
We're not gonna get through there.
Hey, that was cool.
Yeah,
I'm glad we got to see that.
I think whatever they did put that one, and I'm sorry I don't have more information about it right now, but I'm sure it'll be on tflcar.com after they debut it.
Look, I'm getting in the spirit of things, Tommy.
Oh, gosh.
How's that?
That is goofy.
Yeah, look at that. What is this? Okay, he said it's perfect. I don't know what this is.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
All right, well, we saw the Prelude.
Let's keep going. Hold on, there's more Hondas here. Uh-oh, we got some carpet coming through. Hold on. Oh, they have a Formula One car, Tommy.
Oh, sweet.
Or is it a kart? I don't know. But it's Red Bull. It's right there.
Oh, yeah.
And then what's this red car here?
It's a Civic.
But it's got to be special. It's got the red Honda badge.
Civic Type R?
Yeah. It's just a standard Civic Type R?
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Huh. It looks pretty standard. It's got a wing on it. Really big wing. Maybe it's a special edition of it.
Currently, the temporary booth is closed due to vehicle movement.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, we saw the Honda stand. Some cool stuff there. You want to take your silly hat off?
Yes, I'll take my silly hat off.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Is it bugging you?
A little bit.
Now, the problem, of course, in Japan, Tommy, is... that there are no garbage cans.
Yes. Yeah,
so now I have to carry my silly hat.
You're stuck with the hat forever now.
Yeah.
Another interesting face swap. There's a company here called Cal's Motor. And this is a Suzuki Jimny that they have stuck a K5 Blazer front end on.
Yeah, it's the Tokyo International Custom Car Contest winner of 2024, Tommy.
Ooh, good for them.
Look at that, yeah.
Sweet, but they also do, like, these American style, I think they're going for the California vibe. I'm going to scoot over here. Check this out. Excuse me. Look at that. That's cool. So, chrome front end, steel wheels. That's awesome. And this is even crazier.
Look at these. This is like, what is this? Havana.
So this is like a, gosh, I think this is a Honda WRV we saw earlier that once again has like a K5 inspired front end on it.
Cal does some interesting cars. At 4,000.
It's a Toyota.
Yeah,
Toyota,
of course.
Rays.
Yeah, of course it's a Toyota.
Oh gosh, wow. This is the Cal people over here doing some pretty wild stuff.
It's only 5 million yen, Tommy.
Look at that, wood paneling. That is so funny. I've seen this a couple times here. This is a trend in Japan where they take JDM cars, like little Toyotas and Hondas. And
turn them into 1970s cars?
Yeah, and then they face swap them with like a,
that looks like a Lancia.
A Lancia. Looks like a Lancia.
Yeah. It's got a little bit of Lancia.
It looks like a Caprice is what it looks like. It's crazy.
Well, back then they were very similar, Tommy. The Lancias and the Caprices, you know, hard to tell them apart.
What about the inside? Are they the inside too? Oh, not really. It's got wood. It's kind of crappy wood. That's pretty American, I guess. But that's,
I like the color combination, though. It's very retro.
Yeah, look at that. That's crazy. Oh, well, I saw something I've never seen before.
Look at this guy. Look at the white walls on the car. That's something that's very unusual.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
We have officially reached and found the tackiest cars at the Tokyo Auto Salon, Tommy. I mean, do I have to say anything more except for the fact that this silver one is not quite as tacky as the gold SL over there. Love the furry seats. Love the gold chain. Is this even legal? At night, this will blind you coming at you just from the reflection of your own lights.
I love that it's not actually on a new SL. It's on like a $9,000 2004 SL. It's pretty funny. But we're here at Mazda. Let's see what Mazda's up to. Mazda should have a special edition of their MX-5 Miata, if I remember correctly. And it looks like they do. Mazda Spirit Racing. Let's check this little guy out.
Now, last time, Tommy, we were at the Tokyo Motor Show, they unveiled a concept of an RX-8.
Well,
9,
7,
7, 10, 10, whatever. But that has somehow disappeared. What happened to that? That was like the bell of the ball, and now it's gone.
Allegedly, they're actually still working on it, believe it or not.
Okay, what's this one over here?
So I think it's a showcase of their Mazda tuning parts, is what we saw on stage there. I think they have an anniversary edition as well of the Miata.
They seem to be very Miata heavy, because there's another one over there.
Hair thinning can happen for so many reasons. Whether it's stress or hormones or anything, at Nutrafol, we've learned that real change starts below the surface. Our hair growth supplements take a whole body approach and target the key root causes of hair thinning, so you can see visibly thicker, stronger hair in 3 to 6 months.
Hair growth starts from the inside at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
Well, look, this is very much like an enthusiast show.
Yeah.
So you're not going to see probably many CX-5s or CX-3s, although in the corner, I think they have a CX-50.
Dare I say MX-5, Tommy? I don't think they're Miatas here, are they?
Oh, that's a good question. Somebody drop me a comment below. Is the MX-5 actually marketed as the Miata here in Japan? Kind of an interesting question. Mazda Spirit Racing. So I believe Mazda Spirit Racing is like kind of like the parts manufacturing arm of Mazda. Look, they do have a CX product. Oh, pretty cool. This is, I think, a CX-60 in Japan, or is it a 90? Let's take a look here. Yeah, it is a 60. So we don't get this car in the US. It's kind of like a shorter wheelbase version of the 70. And then they also have an off-road SUV as well.
Yeah, the show obviously is a tuner show, but it's very motorsports heavy, right?
Yes.
I see another Wrangler.
Why are you out searching for all the Wranglers at Tokyo Auto Salon?
Because I'm American, dude.
Gravitating turtles, the cars that we just get on normal roads here.
I find, oh, a lifted 70 series. And let's go check that out. It's hiding behind the Wrangler.
That GTR is beautiful.
Once again, GTR. I don't think it's legal here.
Beautiful.
So if you've been watching a lot of our videos, you know that Tommy and I have both fallen in love with the Land Cruiser 70, which is this. And we were always wondering what it would look like if we gave it the Moab treatment. And now we have an answer. I mean, what size are those wheels and tires?
I think it's...
I'll try to translate Japanese.
Oh, it is a new 70 series. That's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, of course.
Let's see if it actually is 40s. So someone did manage to put 40s on a brand new 70 series.
I am impressed.
And then this is the one that we get in the U.S., the 250 series.
And look, somebody managed to put those look like
35s,
yeah.
Yeah. 37s. Someone squeezed 37s.
And look, somebody, I think that's a Murano over there. Or is it a Rogue?
I think it's an Aria.
Is it an Aria? Somebody lifted an Aria? Holy cannoli.
Wow, this is an interesting section we found here.
Oh, look at that. It is an Aria.
Yeah, look at that.
And they not only lifted it, but they cut the back end off of it. Stuck a big bull bar in it, and here's the question, Tommy. How much range do you suspect you get from a lifted Aria?
Between 200 and 300 feet, probably.
Exactly right.
They actually did drive one of these to the Arctic, if you recall. I think that was a college that did that, Dad. So there's some interesting kind of more home-built builds over here, but this is a cool section, and then this is the van world.
We seem to be in the angry van world. Right, these are
very, very aggressive
vans. These are all angry vans.
Look at this one. This one just is just to gnaw your face off.
Exactly.
That's pretty funny. So
you can see where angry birds came from. They came from the Japanese.
There's a lot of really specific kind of subcultures here in Japan for the tuning community, which is cool to see them at full force at the auto salon.
I think what you're seeing in full force here is the van community. I mean, have you seen this much love for vans in America? Can you imagine this being a row of Odysseys or Siennas?
No.
Dare I say,
not.
ID Buzzes.
Not going to see that at the Detroit Auto Show. But they got them here.
You know, Tommy, it feels like the Suzuki Samurai podcast / video, but I have to show you the different versions you can get here in Japan. There is the off-road style.
It says real off-roader on the side.
And the Rhino. You know it's off-roady when there's a Rhino. Over here, you have the heritage style Jimny. It's very old school. Here, we have the revival style. I guess that's kind of postmodern. And finally, over here, we have the survival style, which is very safari-like. Now, for all of you guys out there listening to it as a podcast, what I would recommend is that you head on over to TFL Talk if you want to watch this. Because it's hard to describe all this stuff, and you can watch it since we're walking around the show. You will see a lot of people, though. What do you think of this guy, Tommy?
Yeah, so Suzuki is known for their little tiny cars in Japan. This is a car called the Gear Spacia, which is one of those K cars we were talking about earlier, which is a sub-700cc micro car that are really popular.
You think you can get a bike inside of it?
I don't know. Turns out you can.
Yes.
At least an E-Pod Suzuki tiny bicycle.
I like the light blue. I'm a sucker for this kind of Tiffany blue with this very woodsy false.
So yeah, the wood paneling is a bold move.
It is a bold move. Now let's show them the Swift Sport. That's another car that we don't get. Look at the exhaust, dude. How cool is that?
Yeah, I've heard these cars are really fun to drive, actually, and they're kind of like little pocket rockets. I think this one probably has a manual. It does, a little 6-speed manual transmission, bucket seats, red stitching. I think it's cool.
You know, Suzuki kind of left after the Kizashi. You remember that? It was kind of like a Japanese Jetta, and it didn't sell very well. And I kind of feel like we're missing out on a lot of really cool cars. They still have, if you swing over to your left, of course, Suzuki is still in America as a motorcycle manufacturer. And this is it says Katana, which I believe means sword. But I'm not that familiar with the exact model that we're looking at. But there are motorcycles here.
Yeah, for sure. And there's also the whole line of Suzuki vehicles. This is one called the Fronx. It's kind of like Bronx with an F.
You know how we were talking about they have no fear of customizing cars to within or past an inch of their life?
Sure.
Well, over here, Tommy, if you swing over here, you're going to see some very expensive cars that have been very much customized.
Yeah, this is a Rolls Royce, I do believe, Fanta. Wow. Oh, mansory.
That is the boldest grill I have ever seen on a Rolls Royce. I mean, look at that.
Mansory is a very well-known tuning company. I don't think they're British, or I don't think they're Japanese, though.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're based in Europe somewhere.
Oh, look at those wheels on the G-Wagon. Those are very much Mercedes old school.
Brabus, yeah. They're kind of like monoblocks. And then over here we have the Subaru booth. Let's see what Subaru's got going on. Oh, they've got the BRZ. Actually, I was reading about this. This is a BRZ STI style purple edition, I think.
Does
STI
Subaru,
Sport.
Does Subaru build any cars that we don't get?
Yeah, I do believe they do.
Well, let's go to the booth and see if we can find some. I mean, obviously we get the WRX. We used to get the STI.
So this is kind of like AMG line. This is the STI Sport line.
It says STI though. It's just a
STI Sport
line. Mm-hmm. Oh, so it's like Audi S line.
Yes, exactly right.
Ah, well, there we have it.
Yep. Same thing with this BRZ. It's not actually a full-blown STI. It's STI Sport. Mm. And they also get wagon version of the WRX here in Japan. What is this?
This seems to be the star of the booth here.
S210 prototype.
So it's
hotter WRX. It doesn't have the paneling on the side, which is great. But really attractive car, actually. I love the rally blue.
I love that blue, yeah. Let me see if I can, hold on, before you run away, let me go see if I can read about it.
I could read it from here.
Okay, what is
it? So 300 PS, 300 horsepower, so slightly more horsepower than the standard WRX. It's a 2.4 liter turbo, of course. Pretty cool.
Yeah, all right, let's keep going. Bring it. Bring it. Subaru, bring it to America. Look at the exhaust on that, Tommy.
I know.
We certainly don't have a Crosstrek with center-mounted exhaust like that.
Oh, this is not just any hybrid. This is the Crosstrek Strong Hybrid.
And you can tell by those exhausts. You won't be towing much with that.
STI branded center exhaust on a Crosstrek. That is actually super badass. And this is a levered layback. Black selection. So I think this is kind of like the version of a WRX wagon.
Look at this interior. I love the red start button.
Yeah, it's
right?
Cool.
That tells you there's something hiding under the hood.
STI branding on the center caps.
Let's show them the front here.
I don't think there is anything hiding under the hood except for a strong hybrid.
Is that unlike the normal weak hybrid we get?
Let's see what it says. 2.5 liter. 160 PS, so that's almost 160 horsepower.
We don't get the Crosstrek hybrid. We used to.
Yeah, not anymore, though.
Not anymore, yeah. It was not very good. It wasn't very fuel efficient, and it wasn't very powerful.
But that's because we didn't get the strong one.
No. And what's the one next to it? Here, let's check that out.
The Levorg, I think, or Levorg.
Okay. Oh, and look, we got BYD next door. Tommy, that's not a BYD, because BYD has yet to unveil their car, so we skipped over here, and we're looking at what, Tommy?
This is a Toyota Century. Now, this is a car that if you know, you know. This is kind of like a Japanese Rolls Royce. They only sell them in Japan. As far as I know, they're an ultra-luxurious, long-wheelbase sedan and SUV that is the ultimate symbol of stealth wealth.
Yeah, I mean, I love the fact that you've got this very conservative car that is rolling on slammed, I don't know, what size wheels and tires are those? This has got to be, what, 24s?
Yeah, really a cool look here.
I mean, look, this is a rubber band around the wheel.
Yeah.
Literally, that is a rubber band.
Yeah, I mean, it's beautiful. It really is incredible. And with the, kind of, this is like the VIP look, I think is what they would call it here in Japan, where it's all murdered out with some crazy wheels and a little bit of a stance to it. But that's gorgeous. And they also have, to the right of us, a Lexus LC on wheels, which also is gorgeous. But these are both high-dollar cars here in Japan that are pretty special. And to see them with this treatment, it's very, very cool.
You know what's crazy about these, though? They're definitely for show, not for go. I mean, you run over a pregnant ant with those tires and wheels, you're going to feel it.
Well, I think likely they're on air suspension.
Yeah.
So you push a button, and then they kind of rise up.
Yeah, but still, you've got no give in the tires, Tommy.
Sure.
No amount of air suspension is going to mitigate that.
It doesn't matter if you look that cool. What a look.
I mean, it's also wide-bodied. It is pretty badass. Tommy, so we're here at the Liberty Walk section. Now, that is a modifier tuner company that last year created a big stir because what they do is they make wide body everything.
Yeah, and you know they don't really care what people think, and they're kind of like the rebels of the tuning community, as you know, you can kind of see with this Ferrari. They're a really big deal in the tuning community. It's not really my scene or my crowd, but I do have a lot of respect for some of their designs. I think they're very cool.
Yeah, how about the Stanst and Slam Porsche over there? Let's check that out.
Let's go see that. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Looks like it's a 964. Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. Really nice with the basket weave BBS wheels. And it's got like a Pasha interior.
I like the houndstooth interior. I think that's pretty badass.
Yeah, really cool.
Yeah.
Let's very, very nice.
Let's keep going. Let's go this way and see what else there is over here.
Leave him alone.
Very hard to get through here with all the people.
That's the car that everyone's been really stoked is now 25 years old. That is the R34 Skyline GTR.
Got hey, Tommy, look at this.
R35.
It kind of blew by the Liberty Walk Testarossa. No, it's not a Testarossa. It looks like a Testarossa.
I think it is a Testarossa. I think that's a, there's a company here called, I think it's Koenig or?
It's Liberty Walk.
Yeah, but Koenig, yeah. See, it's on the side there.
Okay.
And they do like twin turbo. I think it is a Testarossa. It's like a twin turbo Testarossa.
And so they got rid of the cheese grate on the side?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think of the Liberty Walk Tesla? Model Y, I believe. Model 3, sorry.
Yeah.
It looks fatter and taller because of the stance and of the wide fenders.
Oh, it looks pretty good, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, not bad at all.
Do you think that people actually drive these cars?
I can't hear you now. What are you saying?
Do you think people actually drive these?
Yeah.
I mean, look at the wheel wells. There is no room for anything.
Yeah, I think people drive them.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't think a lot, but they are still cars that are meant to be used, so that's pretty cool.
I like the 5 Series Touring, but I don't think the M5 is out yet. Let me see what that is.
It's
curious.
M3.
M3 Touring. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, because the M5 has, and look, our favorite brand.
Oh, yeah, Range Rover Classic.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful car. Yeah. Yeah, these M3 Tourings are kind of a big deal here. I've been seeing a ton of them. And I just think they're really cool. I don't think they would sell a ton in the U.S. if they came over, but they've got a really cool look to them.
Once again, Matt Paint. I would say if there's one thing we could take away from the show is that Matt is having its moment. Or maybe it's already had its moment and it's coming down or going up. I don't know, but there's just a lot of it here. We're here at Toyota, where the hot new car is the GR Yaris. I was talking to some of our local contacts, Tommy, at Toyota, and they were telling me that these are unobtainium here.
Yeah, and this is the aero version, I do believe. These are really cool, right? 3-cylinder turbo engine, just under 300 horsepower. It's got a big wing. It's got the GR4 all-wheel drive system, dual exhaust. Oh, man, these are really cool. Now, we get the Corolla in the U.S., right?
Yeah, but I think the Yaris, once you go around, looks a little bit better. I think the Corolla looks like, you know, they kind of supersized it. The problem, of course, is that it's only got two doors, and that might be a hard sell in America. You couldn't convince your lovely wife that this is a family hauler.
No, I definitely could not do that. That's exactly right. This one, look at that crazy parking brake in there. That's pretty wild. I haven't seen one like that. No, this is a really cool car, Dad. I think it's really resonating with folks. Look, it wouldn't work in the U.S. with a two-door.
No, and the other problem, of course, is that the hot hatch is slowly going the way of the Dodo. There's few left, right? There's the GTI, the Golf R, which, by the way, Volkswagen is here, and they unveiled both the Golf R and the GTI. So I think hot hatches are still a thing here.
Yeah, for the Japanese marketplace. Now, this is the car I'm really excited to show you guys, because this car appears to be teasing something very, very important. So this is another GR Yaris, right?
Yeah, that's right. Toyota is now building cars without engines.
Not quite that, but this crazy camouflaged GR Yaris, obviously missing its engine, still has the all-wheel drive system, and that's because the engine is in the middle.
Yeah, it's kind of a mid-engined race car. You know, Akio Toyota is a huge fan of motorsports, and you can see that in the booth, Tommy.
Huge fan of motorsports, and you can see that is a new GR engine, which they're teasing will go into production. It's the G20E, which is a 2-liter version of the GR engine that we've seen in the in the Corolla, but why is it important that it's in the back of the car?
Let's go show a close-up view of it. It's over there. Because this is previewing something that is near and dear to a lot of people's hearts, especially if you grew up when I grew up, and that would be as the British say, Tommy, the Celica.
The Celica, yeah, the Celica. And they said it in the presentation, they're like, we're not officially saying anything. However, they weren't not officially saying anything either.
This might be the powertrain in the next Toyota Celica, if and when it comes back.
And that's why they debuted the GR Yaris, is as a test bed for mid-engined capabilities.
Yeah, how cool is that? Let's head on over to the booth and show them some of the other cars that are on display. I love, love, love the Supra, Tommy.
Let's take a look at that.
Squeeze through here. That has got to be one of the most iconic cars. You know how we're seeing a lot of the Skyline GTRs?
Uh-huh.
These are very rare. I haven't seen many of these here at all.
I think it's because they're so valuable now. Not that the R34s aren't valuable, but these cars on display here are showing the progression of Toyota at the Nürburgring, dating back 20-some years. And then this is a car they're actually taking to the Nürburgring for the 24 hours. That's the new Yaris TGRR.
Let's head over there.
Let's check it out.
Once again, matte paint, dude.
Very cool. So,
what does RR stand for?
Rookie Racing.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is the name of Akio Toyota's dog.
Apparently.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Rookie.
Yeah, you heard it here first on the TFL Car Chat podcast. Hey, before we wrap this up, let's look at these little cute things.
I want to look at this. This is more interesting.
All right, well, look at both of them.
Look at this. This is, we've done so many videos on this in the last 3 days. This is the 70 series Land Cruiser that they get here in Japan. 2.8 liter turbo diesel, solid axle. Let me show you the inside because it's pretty interesting. You know, look how basic. It's got no radio. It's got cloth seats. It's got locking discs front and rear. Oh, it is so cool.
But it's also the first one we've seen with a snorkel.
Yeah. This is the overseas custom version.
Interesting. Oh, so we thought that hole was for the snorkel.
No, it's...
it's for a DEF.
It's where the DEF goes.
And look, another Jeep, Tommy. But it's not.
This is the first Land Cruiser.
Exactly. Huh? That looks like a flat fendered CJ, Tommy.
Well, not by coincidence either.
No, of course.
The original Land Cruiser modeled after the Willys Jeep, and then it evolved eventually into the 70 series. But then they also have this vehicle next to us to sell overseas here. This is the 300 series, and this is the race spec version.
Yeah, another vehicle that is unobtainium for us.
Yeah, these are really cool. A lot of people in the States desperately want these. We do get a version of it, though, in Lexus.
Hey, speaking of Land Cruisers, turn around.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, look at that.
What is this? Huh. So this is the front end of an FJ62, but look at this on the inside. Oh, it's a 100 series. Look at that. So it's a 100 series Land Cruiser. You can tell it in the rear, but it's got the front end of a 60 series.
Hey, is that a Sturato?
It is indeed.
Yeah, it's kind of hiding over here.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
In a lot of places, this Lamborghini off-roader would be the star of the show, but here, it's funny, the Land Cruisers are the star of the show.
Yeah, that's badass. It's awesome.
The only place where you see a K truck, and these guys do like Rhino lining, they're calling it Raptor lining, right? So I think that's what this company is showing off. The Rhino lapping on the K truck, on the Sturato, and over there on the Land Cruiser.
Yeah.
But come on, let's come back over here. I want to see what those little guys are. They look very French to me.
Which little guys?
I'll show you. You're going to love these. This is all you. Come this way.
Oh, hang on. I got to show this too.
Right, what do you got here?
I've seen this.
Oh, what's
this
that
online.
Pink thing?
Yeah. This is a Toyota RAV4.
Yeah.
That has a Chevy Blazer swap front end. Look at this.
They seem to love that Blazer look.
It's really crazy.
And we're not talking about the modern Blazer. We're talking about the original Blazer.
That's crazy. Yeah, chrome front end, stacked headlights.
Hey,
oh,
maybe,
my gosh.
Maybe this is what the Japanese Mary Kay reps get.
A swapped, a no-swapped RAV4.
Yeah, come on with me. I have no clue what these guys are, but they're super cute. Oh, you know what this is? This is Marizo's garage. So these are the Toyotas that Marizo Toyoda, the former CEO of Toyota, grew up with. And so he wanted to have a little garage. And you can see Tokyo there, I think, behind him. And these are the cars that were hot. So let's start with this one. Cheap yet cheerful, Tommy.
They imported the Subaru 360 into the U.S. with the tagline, cheap and ugly.
I thought it was cheap and cheerful.
No, cheap and ugly. And it was kind of a flop in the States. These are the original K cars here in Japan, like the 360, originally the K cars. Now they can have over 600 cc's of displacement.
Oh, I love the interior. Look at that.
Originally, they could only do 360 cc's of displacement. Yeah, they're kind of cool. Like, I like that Mr. Toyoda is not just into Toyotas. He's also into Mazdas and Subarus, and that's a Daihatsu and all sorts of stuff.
Let's keep going. I mean, they've come a long way, Tommy, from these to building some of the world's best cars today. And then there's a surprise here that Toyota's very proud of. So the Daihatsu Midget, it's kind of like the Italian Ape.
Right? Good point.
Right? Yeah. And then what's at the end here? It's the best-selling car in the world, Tommy.
Yeah, it's a Corolla. And that little guy is baby Akio Toyoda, which is pretty cool.
I mean, look how pristine this Toyota Corolla is.
Well, it might be right from the heritage collection that Toyota has.
I'm betting it is. I mean, yeah, and the Corolla has come a long way.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And go ahead.
Over here.
There's more?
By the way, Andre, as we do this podcast, is currently at Dakar 2025. He's there right now watching this Land Cruiser.
Well, shouldn't that Land Cruiser be there?
Maybe they're missing one.
What's it doing over here?
So if we come on over here, Daihatsu is a sub-brand under Toyota, which focuses primarily on small cars. And they do GR versions of those small cars, too. Look at these little racy guys. Look at that. How cool is that?
The ES? The Miura ES?
Yeah, it's awesome.
GR? I thought the Miura was a Nissan.
Nope, it's a little Daihatsu, I think.
Micra is a Nissan.
Micra.
I was off by one.
And then they even do sports car versions in this K-car category, like the Copen.
Another one.
Check that out.
All right. I have a hard time believing that car will tow that jet ski. It's bigger than the car, dude.
It's a good way to kind of show the size difference to American cars. Like, they don't look that small on camera.
So this is a Taft.
Uh-huh.
Whatever that is. I don't know what a Taft is, but look at the interior.
Let's see. Oh, sweet. Pretty cool. All sorts of fun little designs there.
And we made it over to the Yamaha booth. Should we go to the Yamaha booth?
Yeah, let's see what they got here.
Let's see what Yamaha has here. They seem to have a tiny side-by-side.
Teeny tiny side-by-side.
Yeah, look at that. That is a teeny tiny side-by-side snowplow.
Let's check it out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's rad. It's got a little utility trailer it's towing. Oh, it's electric.
Yeah, okay.
Oh,
and then
cool.
a lot of motorcycles, of course.
Yep. The Tracer over here. We got the R3 over here. So lots of cool bikes.
Here's another one.
Another tiny electric side-by-side.
Yeah, how cool is that?
So what do you think? Anything else?
Yeah, I think we should go... check out Hyundai. What do you think?
Yeah, we got to go to the Hyundai booth too. Great point.
They've unveiled actually something new that might come to America. I think this is already in America. All right, Tommy, Liberty Walk just unveiled a bunch of cars. And last year, Liberty Walk had the coolest cars here. So let's go check out what they unveiled. Now, I was talking to Larry Chen, who's a pretty well-known automotive videographer. He does YouTube videos for Hagerty. And he was saying what makes Liberty Walk so cool is that there's a lot of legacy aftermarket manufacturers here.
Yeah.
And, you know, they make cars faster. Liberty Walk makes them slower. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, they are emphasized on style and design over performance. So this is, I think, the big reveal of the year. What we have here is a Lamborghini Miura. Oh, okay. You want to start with this one?
Yeah.
I think it's an RX-7, like an FDR RX-7. Obviously wide body with a super low front end. But this is the car that I think everybody's been really into. So this is a Lamborghini Miura, the first supercar in a lot of ways, that's mid-engine worth $1 million, and they've gone full crazy tuner treatment on it, and you can't see it at all.
Yeah, so...
Come over here.
So what I meant by making them slower is they stand some right.
Yep.
They also lower them, and they make them cool. So they're not interested in making K cars go quicker, they're making cars that look cooler.
Yeah.
And a lot of people aren't happy about it because they're taking these classic cars, like this Miura, right? And they're basically, I mean, if, you know, if you're mean, you say bastardizing it. If you're nice, you're saying customizing it.
Sure.
And it's very expensive. So, like, you start with the donor car. I don't know how much mirrors are, but they're not cheap, right?
A million bucks.
And then that wide body kit, if you buy it from Liberty Walk, is $125,000.
That's the starter kit.
Yeah.
This is probably a $2 million car.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest about that. And it is a very Hot Wheels design, super low, super bold in the statement it makes. Like, if we come over here.
Let's look at the next one they got unveiled.
Yeah, they also did an R32 GTR, which is already a very collectible car, and then they went kind of crazy with that. And Liberty Walk is like, it's kind of like Hoonigan. It's a fashion brand. It's an icon, right, that people get excited about. So, like, look, so it's an R32 with really dramatic front splitter, and they extended the hood, and it's got a bottle of champagne in it.
Look at the hood. It extends beyond the, you know, headlights. And so, yeah. So does the spoiler in the front. And then you like that little, I think it's an intercooler that's sticking out. It almost looks like a retainer.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very dramatic look. And then if we come over here, we got some more stuff to show off. I mean, what's amazing though is how much they're resonating with the people here, because this
How many people have enough money to buy these cars?
Yeah, but there's a lot of high-end cars here. This is the only booth that you actively can't get anywhere near the car.
Do you like the camo?
I can't even see the car.
All right, well,
look at that. It's completely invisible.
It's not. Same thing, right? Giant front lip.
Slammed,
stanced. It even says slammed, right?
Yeah.
So that's pretty easy.
Same thing with the Lamborghini, right? Pretty wild. And then this was a car, I think this may have been last year they revealed this.
You think this is, no, I think it's fresh because the guy's actually painting on it right now. So this is a Ferrari F40, which, you know, is in the pantheon of Ferraris, one of the greatest, right? When you think back, this and the F50. And yet there's a guy over there painting ducks on it.
Well, sharpieing ducks on it.
Let's go look.
I think he's a pretty legendary artist. I got a shot of it. We'll get over here.
You gotta get over there.
There you go. Little dappy duck on the side of an F40. So yeah, I mean, it's almost blasphemous in some ways. It's super bold, super different, and I think that's why it's cool. I just don't know if it's really my thing, but it's definitely interesting.
Yeah, and some people would say that, you know, taking this classic Ferrari and, you know, making it a wide body, stancing it, and then, you know, pinning ducks on it, go around, get a little closer shot of it, is blasphemous, like you said. But some people think it's cool. I mean, I'd love to get your opinion in the comments below. What do you think? Are these guys making these cars, are they reinventing them for the next generation, or are they, you know, killing classics?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting topic. And one that's got people up in arms lately, but let us know what you guys think in the comment section below.
Hey, look. This is another one.
Is this one stock?
So you can.
More stock, but, you know, still bold.
I think we're, if you're listening to this at home, we're filming a lot of backs of people.
Yeah. Not actually seeing a lot of cars in this podcast. I do apologize. Yeah, pretty crazy, huh?
Yeah, so this is what, you know.
Two F40s right next to each other.
I know. And how many of these things are in the world? Not that many.
Not many.
No, it's, I'm not sure how many, but it's definitely in the hundreds. It's not in the thousands. Well, Tommy, that was interesting.
It's quite the whirlwind here.
Yeah, I mean, not only are there a lot of cool cars and a lot of cool tuners and a lot of people, but there's just a lot of everything.
Yeah, it's sensory overload to the max here. Really cool to see. Look, clearly not really our world, the JDM tuner community, but we still learned a lot, had a great time, and got to see a little bit of everything.
Yeah, guys, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. As always, where should they go, Tommy?
Head over to alltfl.com, where hopefully you'll get less jet lagged and more refined me. And we'll see you next time.
Yeah, we're both getting pretty tired. See you next time. Ciao.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.